Is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." The Gospel of Christ.
Please be seated. It's good to see you here today. I don't know how you sleep coming up to Christmas. I find the discombobulation of people coming over, the strange food. And then last night we watched Elf. I mean, there's a lot to worry about in the world. I mean, I didn't realize I'd have to worry about Santa's sleigh breaking down. Anyway, my issues, first world issues, as we say. So there's a lyric from U2's, anybody here remember U2, that band from the 80s and 90s? I know, it dates us. From U2's Rattle and Hum album, which was, I think, if I'm remembering correctly, a movie before it was an album, which is a strange thing. Anyway, the lyric goes like this: when love comes to town, I'm going to jump that train. When love comes to town, I'm going to catch that flame. That's an ode to blues music and B.B. King in particular. And as you'd guess, a wild guess, the title of the song is When Love Comes to Town. And it popped into my remembrance when I was reading the story classically known as The Visitation. The story of how Elizabeth, Mary's relative, that's going to be a double relative in there, we don't want that. Relatively older, a relative that's relatively older than Mary, both of whom have miraculous babies in their womb, and they greet each other. And we see in this story, when love comes to town, blessings overflow, and we too want to have our own hearts warmed by its flame. But let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. Let's enter the scene. And I have to say, right off the bat, any male who preaches on Advent 4 is out of his league. Because, I mean, really, this story is a story of women taking center stage, in which women, a woman supports another woman, women support women, in what can only be described as the age-old ritual of the divine sisterhood, or something like that. A younger woman seeks the support of an older woman, but finds that she, as a young, unwed, pregnant mother-to-be, is also offering support to an unlikely older mother-to-be. And so it's a scene of dramatic human intimacy, permeated by the beauty, the mystery, the divinity, really, of what goes on in women's wombs. And over the centuries, painters by the dozens have been enraptured by the scene. I think only of Rembrandt's beautiful rendition of a slightly bent over Elizabeth, signifying that she's going to share a secret, but also, as Rembrandt could only do, signifying her age, as she leans over a tall, upright, radiant Mary. It's beautiful. And lyrically, of course, the words in our gospel text today have entered the soul of Christian worship. From Elizabeth's words, when after filled with the Holy Spirit, she speaks words that form the basis of the Hail Mary, to Mary's Magnificat, which we've sung already, her beautiful poem of praise to the way God works to bend the long arc of history towards justice in the most surprising of ways. Mary's poem echoes themes drawn from the Torah, from the promises to David, and the prayers of the Psalms. And she weaves them together in as beautiful a summary of Scripture as has ever been uttered. And this by a teenage girl. It's an extraordinary scene, infused by God's Spirit, highlighting the possibilities of human community, the old and the young together, the fostering of new life through truth-telling, through inspired seeing into what is coming, and encouragement. And the feeling of the scene, at least for me, looking at the paintings, rereading the text, is one of amazement. Love has come to town. How did we get in on it? Wow, we did. Can you believe it? We're in on it. And it's all the more striking when we remember where we are. This isn't an emotional concert sing-along. Just for all of you guys who go to Ariana Grande and Taylor Swift concerts, I just want you to know that U2 was the first great rock band that popularized the sing-along concert. It's our generation. You know, but that's not what this is. This is the ancient Near East, in which we meet a young woman who has agreed to her circumstance through an act of trust and extraordinary faith. And we don't often read this text on Advent 4. Most of the time, it's the announcement of Gabriel to Mary and her inspired, "Yes, may it be to me according to your word." But in year C, when we look at Luke, there's so much amazing stuff in Luke 2. They give us this text. And it's wonderful because we see that Mary is doubling down on the faith that she's been expressing by traveling by herself, most likely, which is incredible, into the hills. Best we can tell, a four-day journey or about 100 kilometers. And we see from this that when love comes to town, Mary is willing to take the risks necessary not only to receive that love initially, but then to go on a journey with that love, to participate in that love. The journey reveals an extraordinary fact, really, that Mary would have had a mother at some point, but that by all accounts, she doesn't now. Tradition will affix Saint Anne as Mary's mother, but that comes from the apocryphal Gospel of James. And at this fraught time in Mary's life, she doesn't appear to have a living mother or father that she can go to for encouragement. Mary then, just drawing out the implications of that, has known tragedy in her young life, already as a teenager. And the joy then that she's expressing here isn't something she's accustomed to. She's not lived a cushy life filled with Advent calendars, with liqueur chocolates, candy canes. Indeed, the tragedy she's experienced may have better opened her heart to what is now happening with her. Her participation in this joy and love doesn't just happen willy-nilly. It's the product of a grace-filled partnership between God asking her, God initiating towards her, and Mary opening to that asking, to God's help and direction. All the way from Mary's yes to Gabriel's announcement to her willingness to risk her safety and travel to see Elizabeth. Would she have been willing for all of that if she'd been living a comfortable life? Love happens when we receive the idea of it, first of all, but then we go out and we meet it. We take the risk to travel with love. This love opens to Mary an extraordinary insight. to Elizabeth as well. She knows her scriptures, as I've already said, but she now comes to see them in light of her own experience. She comes to extraordinary insight from her self-identity as a lowly one for whom God has done great things. This extraordinary self-description, surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed. It's no, like, hey, give yourself some self-compassion, treat yourself, you know, you deserve some me time. That's not what that is. It's the bedrock truth that comes when the idea of God turns into an experience of God and becomes reality. And here's the amazing good news, the gospel. As the tradition has clearly seen, Mary, in all of her smallness, in her unlikeliness, in her chosenness, in her responsiveness, in the trajectory even of the centuries in which she will become the Mother of God and the Queen of Heaven, the unique and honored role Mary comes to play in the story of salvation, well, all of that is not just for her. It's about the journey we're all invited to jump onto, about the flame that might yet warm all of us if we don't try to stuff our hunger with riches and pride and amusements, but allow the hunger we have to be filled with God's good things, to be open to God's word, to these stories, to be open to the amazement of love that wants to take residence at the core of our being as a living reality. When love comes to town, she invites us on a journey of joy and fulfillment, a journey of blessing, to be sure, but we will not be shielded from the pain of disappointment or loss. Indeed, sometimes this journey will open us, as it did for Mary, to more pain than we think we can bear. Simeon will say to Mary later in this chapter, when the baby Jesus is presented in the temple, "And a sword will pierce your own soul." The invitation this Advent 4 is to jump the train. Don't miss the opportunity to know this love as the very core reality that is shaping everything and can shape you. For this journey with God is the only journey that will help us find the love we've always needed, the love that births all other loves. May it be so in you, in us, in our world. Amen.